As some of you know, before I attended Knox College, I worked as a financial advisor for one of the banks here. Not here in town, but back out in Oakville. And one day while working, I had a woman come in to see me. She was in her late 60s. And it was the first time that I had met her. And she looked extremely nervous. In her hands, she held a bank statement, which, working in a bank, wasn't an uncommon sight to see. So I introduced myself to her, and I invited her into my office, and I asked how I could help. And she showed me the bank statement, and it was for a home equity line of credit. And she asked me to confirm how much money was owing on that line of credit. And I looked at the statement and I saw a number just over $250,000, which I read out to her. She retracted the paper and she sat quietly for a moment and then proceeded to tell me that when she and her husband took that line of credit out, they owed no money on their home. A home equity line of credit is essentially a mortgage, which she now had for in excess of $250,000. And she asked me if I could confirm that if she did indeed owe that money on her home. And I responded that yes, that was the amount of money that she owed to the bank. She and her husband owed to the bank. She told me that she had never once herself used the line of credit, and that over a period of 3 years, through various ways, her husband had therefore placed them in debt to the amount of $250,000. They were both retired, and she wondered how they would ever repay that amount of money. And I responded to her that I would do my best, I would help work with them to come up with a plan, but that I couldn't do anything before she spoke with her husband. I can't imagine that conversation was an easy one. Her husband had accumulated a debt that would not have been easy to forgive. And it is not easy to forgive when we have been hurt so deeply, when we have accumulated a debt that we know we can never repay. The parable of the unmerciful servant this morning continues our teaching on forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just something that Christians do. It's a large part of what we are. Last week, we considered a process of resolution that we should take when a brother or sister in Christ has hurt us, has sinned against us. And today, our lesson begins with a question from Peter. Peter asks Jesus, "How many times must I forgive? Up to 7 times? To which Jesus responds, not 7, but 70 times 7, whereas some versions translate it 77 times. Which is really to say, we're never to stop forgiving. Which, of course, is really hard, isn't it? Last week, I suggested to you that when Jesus said that we treat the one who has offended us as a Gentile or a tax collector, that what Jesus was really saying was, don't give up on that person. And today, as we continue to look at forgiveness, we see this idea borne out. Jesus is telling Peter that we don't give up on people. We must always be willing to forgive. Which is hard, as I said. And I suggest to you that it is hard not because of the act of true forgiveness. That, in and of itself, is difficult. Forgiving people who have hurt us is a difficult task at the best of times, whether they come to us hat in hand or whether we approach them. We can forgive them once. It's the repeat transgressions where this process starts to break down. And yet, Jesus' words are there. We must be willing to forgive. And I think that if Jesus had just left it at that, that you must always forgive, we'd be okay. We would recognize that the task of forgiveness and reconciliation was not easy, but we would strive as we do our best and to forgive. But as you and I know, things with Jesus are never quite that easy. And after telling Peter that you must forgive 77 times, Jesus then tells the parable of the unmerciful servant. The kingdom of heaven is like a king whose servant has accrued so much debt. And the servant begs forgiveness, and it's granted. And then while out on that walk, that same servant sees another who owes him money and has him tossed in jail for not paying it. And of course, the master, when he learns of this, chastises that servant he had previously forgiven and tosses him in jail. And then, at the end, the last verse, Jesus puts it before us. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive from your heart. And it's this final line in the parable that is the toughest for me. I question if it places a limit on God's divine grace. That if I don't forgive people, God won't forgive me. And what Jesus says here, it seems to be out of character from the rest of the gospel. I thought God could forgive me anything. I thought that's why Jesus came. To forgive me and to restore my relationship with God, with my Creator. And what Jesus is telling us here is apparently that's not the case. Not that God can't forgive us. I believe God can. But perhaps what Jesus is saying is that God won't. Because God wants us to forgive one another. It's a condition of following Jesus. It's a part of who we are. Forgiveness. It is a condition of being Christian. As Christians, we recognize that the largest debt we could ever imagine has been reduced to nothing. Without our asking of God, God, through Jesus Christ, has removed that debt and restored us to relationship with Him, made us whole. The catch is the expectation that we should be willing to offer such forgiveness to other individuals and as a community of faith. Theologian N.T. Wright describes forgiveness like this. Forgiveness is more like the air in your lungs. There's only room for you to inhale the next lungful when you've just breathed out the previous one. If you insist on withholding it, refusing to give someone else the kiss of life that they may desperately need, you won't be able to take any more in yourself, and you will suffocate quickly. Whatever the spiritual, moral, and emotional equivalent of the lungs may be, it's either open or it's closed. And if it's open, able and willing to forgive others, it will also be open to receive God's love and forgiveness. But if it's locked up to the one, it will be locked to the other. As disciples of Christ, we are called to understand the teachings of Jesus, to walk in His way, allowing others to see the face of Christ through us. But how do we truly understand the nature of forgiveness, of what it takes to be forgiven, as we so graciously are, if we are not first willing to forgive? How do we understand the act of forgiveness represented by Christ on the cross if we are unwilling to forgive those who are around us? When we consider Peter's question of how many times do I need to forgive, well, we should know better than to ask. As the church, we already know the answer. Amen.